welcome you all to the Bible class here this Lord's Day morning. And if we could unite our hearts in prayer, seeking the Lord's face right at the outset of this meeting, conscious that we need his help. And therefore, let us bow both our heads, our hearts before him, asking him for his help, of which we so desperately need in our day and generation. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, we come before thee, acknowledging that thou art God, and that there is none beside thee. We thank thee for the way of access, our approach unto thee, through the rent veil, which is to say, his flesh. We thank thee for our Saviour and our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you'll bless this meeting in its entirety, for the glory of thy precious name. For it's in Christ's name we ask all these things, and for his glory alone. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. We welcome you to the Bible class here this morning. And if you have your Bibles with you, we're turning to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Turning to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we're commencing our reading at verse 1. Let us hear God's word. Romans chapter 10, and commencing our reading at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a seal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 13, knowing that the Lord will bless this, the public reading of his word, as he's revealed and promised to do so. Let us again bow briefly before the Lord, asking him for his help as we come to consider his word, the words of his mouth. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, we ask of thee that you'll empty us now of self and of sin, and that you'll fill us all full of the Holy Ghost and with power. You'll bless the words of thy mouth. Bless the hearing ear. Bless the preaching of divine truth and our study of thy word. Help us now. We ask all these things in thy dear and precious name. Encourage every heart and bless thy truth, for it's in Christ's precious name we pray. Remember the little children as they go through their pieces. Lord, bless them. Bless the homes represented. We ask all these things for your eternal glory and for your eternal praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 10 and the verses 1 to 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a seal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Paul the Apostle, prior to his conversion to Christ, that is, on the Damascus Road, as we understand, was a proud, self-centered, arrogant individual. He lived according to the straitest sect of the law and was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. His heart, prior to his conversion, was closed and bolted and barred. Barred as a house shut up wholly in darkness, as to the reception of the gospel as it is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. His heart was closed as Lydia's was in Acts 16, until the Lord himself opened it in the Damascus Road. And so, from that moment, Paul became an outstanding servant of Jesus Christ. Paul had a serious burden for the souls of men. He lived for Christ from the moment of his conversion to Christ. There was a very deep heaviness in Paul's heart, and the cause for that heaviness is clear. He knew that while he had been gloriously saved, converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew that while he himself was now in Christ, that he was sure of heaven, and the building of God, whose builder and maker is God, and experienced divine grace in his soul and had passed from spiritual death to life. Yet he knew with heaviness of heart that there were others, many others, Jews and Gentiles, who had not come to experience that blessing of which he had experienced, and that is eternal life. Eternal life. And that truth, well, he knew that there were others. Others in his nation who did not know the Lord, and it was this truth that broke this man's heart. In the midst of his own happiness, yes, knowing who he was in Christ, knowing what he had in Christ, knowing of that indissoluble union with the only Redeemer of God's elect, he was at the same time overwhelmingly conscious, and had a very deep heaviness for the souls of men. And such was Paul's burden for the unregenerate, for the unsaved of his day and generation. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a seal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And this therefore leads us to consider Paul's burden for souls. You see, Paul had an extremely intense interest for the souls of men, for the lost of his day and generation. We clearly see from these verses a beautiful example in Paul of the meekness and gentleness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who prayed for his enemies, who prayed for his murder. You see, the Jews considered Paul as one of their great enemies. They had persecuted him from city to city, time and time again. They had sought his life, and yet his burden and affection for them was not diminished. He prayed for them, and thus he labored by all means to save some, and so he assures his brethren in Christ, to whom he writes of his burden towards Israel and of his prayers to God, that they might be saved. And so firstly, Paul's desire for souls. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You see, we see clearly his deep concern, his desire for the spiritual welfare of souls. This man of God had an intense interest for the souls of men. Brethren, my heart's desire, a personal concern for individuals, a heart interest for never dying souls, a genuine and earnest desire. You see, the desire of his heart was towards souls. He bore them, well, a goodwill to them. He bore a goodwill to them. His mind was well disposed and affected towards them. He had a sincere and hearty respect for them. A hearty respect for them. He doesn't look upon them as unimportant. He doesn't look upon them as having no value, of no worth, and a people to be neglected. No, he sees them as souls to be pitied, dying, and unfit to die. He continually bore them upon his mind at the throne of grace. And so Paul shares this burden with his brethren in Christ, to whom Paul writes, brethren, my heart's desire, and not the Jews in general who were his brethren in the flesh. And so, child of God, what do we learn as we study Paul's burden for souls? As we see his heart's desire for souls, that a brother's burden, that a brother's burden would be our burden, and that our burden would be a brother. Oh, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Sympathize with one another under the various trials and troubles that we may meet with, and be ready to afford each other the comfort and counsel, help and assistance which our circumstances may require. Brethren, my heart's desire. Oh, he doesn't ignore their possession out of Christ. He doesn't ignore their possession out of Christ, but desires and yearns to see them in Christ. And so what do we also see from verse 1? Well, that Paul's desire was particular in that his desire was for a nation. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Oh, his nation, those to whom he was acquainted with, his countrymen. He was endeavoring in every way possible to call their attention to the gospel. His desire for a nation. Look with me at Romans chapter 9, a previous chapter, and the start of that chapter, Romans 9 and the verses 1 to 3. We find here words parallel to those of which we are considering this morning, particularly verse 1. But Romans chapter 9, verse 1 to 3, and he says this, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Oh, here is his desire for a nation, a desire for sinners. It wasn't a sudden emotion or passion. It was a longing that had long been in him and had deeply affected him and greatly depressed him. And so what was the reason of all this? Well, his desire was for their salvation. His desire was that they might be saved. Oh, Paul was abused, reviled, and persecuted by his own countrymen. Yet he not only forgave them, but constantly desired their salvation, their conversion, and their restoration to God's favor. This was the great heaviness and continual sorrow in this man's heart. His heart's desire was that they might be saved. Oh, the stubbornness of his countrymen. The hardness of their hearts and their willful rejection of the Messiah, the only Redeemer, their trusting to their own righteousness, the neglect and contempt of the righteousness of Christ, which he knew must unavoidably issue in their eternal destruction. And therefore, what about our nation? What about our nation? What about their salvation? What about their salvation? Oh, it should be the same with us. Although we know that not all men and women are elect, it is right for us genuinely to desire their salvation. Therefore, child of God, pray for the unsaved, that they might be saved. Furthermore, his desire was direct to God. His heart's desire, that is, his desire was direct to God. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God. To God for Israel is that they might be saved. Oh, he constantly prayed to God for their salvation. He did not neglect to offer up prayer for them to God. Oh, we must seize the opportunities that are presented before us as they are given to us. But child of God, prayer is at all times. Prayer is at all times at our disposal. And therefore, child of God, what a great privilege we should ever persevere in. Because, child of God, when we are shut out from access to man, we have always access and availability to God. And therefore, like Paul, we should never cease to pray for, to use all proper means for the conversion of, and those who either oppose the gospel with violence or not. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And so his desire was direct unto God. For as our shorter catechism asks that question, what is prayer? Prayer is the offering up of our desires unto God. For things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. And therefore, are we praying likewise? Giving God the heart's desire and praying to God for things agreeable to his will, praying for those who cannot pray for themselves, praying to God for those things, those people that need our prayers. That need our prayers, because remember, child of God, there was a time in our lives when we were the subject of prayer. There was a time in our lives that we were the subject of prayer. And therefore, let us learn as we study Paul's burden for souls and learn from his example, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And so this leads us to consider, secondly, Paul's discernment of souls. Paul's discernment of souls. Verse 2, for I bear them record. For I bear them record that they have a seal of God, but not according to knowledge. Oh, Paul discerned and acknowledged that the Jews had a seal of God. And this had formerly been the case with Paul himself. This had been the case with himself. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 in the first 13 to 14. Galatians chapter 1 and the first 13 to 14. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Oh, he had been brought up in the Jewish religion. He had been a rejecter of the Christian faith. He had been a persecutor of it. But now, whilst the apostle is expressing his strong affection for this people, he is careful to act the faithful part to them and points out their mistakes and shows them their faults, which he does in this and the following verse by observing that they had a seal of God indeed, that they had a seal of God indeed, but not according to knowledge. And so he discerned their danger. He discerned their danger, but not according to knowledge. Although they had a seal of God, they knew neither God nor Christ aright. They did not know God in Christ, nor the Lord Jesus Christ to be the true Messiah. They understood neither law nor gospel truly. And so this man of God, as God gives him this heart's desire, as God gives him this burden for this people, he, Paul, bewails this people as under condemnation on account of their ignorance. And so we see that men may attend to religion in our day and generation. Men may attend to religion and even be much occupied on the subject without being acceptable to God. For many are sincere and devout, but sincerity and devotion will never save a soul. Remember what was stated in Romans chapter 3 and the verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, There shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Oh, Paul's burden for souls is furthermore seen in verse 3. In verse 3, in that Paul's description of their souls. He describes them as God gives him this discernment. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And so Paul gives a number of descriptions expressing his burden for them, and the first of these is their ignorance. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. And so the ground of the rejection of the gospel by the Jews was their ignorance of God's righteousness. And therefore not understanding that righteousness which God has provided in his own Son. And so they rejected the salvation of the gospel. Because as we know, salvation is in a person. And so the Jews were not acting in accordance with Scripture. And God had made known this in the beginning of his revelation back in Genesis chapter 15 and the first 6 concerning Abram. And he believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. And so right throughout the Scriptures that God had imputed a perfect righteousness to his people. And the Jews were ignorant because they had never been told. They were ignorant of this. Not because they had never been told, but because of their own refusal. Their own refusal. And so the Jews were ignoring a great doctrine, a great teaching revealed in the Scripture, and in doing so were left with only an imperfect righteousness based on their own disobedience. And this Paul was burdened for. This Paul was burdened for. Not only of their ignorance, but of their self-justification. Look at verse 3, and going about to establish their own righteousness. Oh, if only they had accepted God's righteousness. If only they had accepted God's righteousness, they would have ceased going about seeking to establish their own righteousness. Their going about or seeking to do this shows their ignorant sin. And the toil, the pains, the labor they used to effect it, but all in vain and to no purpose. You see, they were proud of their own good works, of their own self-righteousness, of their own self-justification, and would not turn from their sins and trust the Savior, and therefore this leads us to their disobedience, in that they had not submitted, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Oh, this the Jews submitted not to. To the righteousness of God, revealed in the gospel, because they had no true humble sense of themselves as sinners, nor did they care to acknowledge themselves as such. Oh, God had provided a perfect righteousness in his Son, as he's provided the Lord Jesus Christ, sending him forth to be the propitiation for sin. And so God had provided a perfect righteousness in his Son, and therefore submission to God's righteousness in reality is believing on Christ. As we see from verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And so God has provided a way of righteousness, and if men are rejecting it, women are rejecting it, it is clear that those men, those women, those boys, those girls are in disobedience and rebellion against God. And therefore, without this righteousness, which is of faith, this gift of God's righteousness, then men are left to their own imperfect work as they stand before God's judgment. You know, Robert Haldane, that great theologian, stated this: the righteousness of God, that is, the righteousness provided by God and revealed in the gospel, which is received by faith, by which men are saved, And he who does not submit to this righteousness and humbly receive it, but supposes that he is able to do something to give him a right to obtain or merit it, or even attempts to add to anything of his own, or to substitute in its place his own obedience, more or less is equally ignorant of the corruption of his own heart, of the holiness of God, and of the perfection of the obedience which the law requires. And therefore, the same descriptions that caused Paul's burden for souls ought to be a grief to the hearts of God's people today. Oh, we rejoice in the 500th year of the Reformation of the 16th century that recovered the good news of salvation based on the imputed righteousness of Christ. Sad to say, we live in a day where much of modern Christianity, like Israel, in Romans chapter 10, is caught up in trying to work out its own righteousness by keeping the law. And therefore, child of God, let us, as the people of God, cry out to God for a return to the true gospel based on the righteousness of Christ. Listen to Paul's burden for souls, and may we catch the burden. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a seal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. May God give us such a burden for souls, burden for the lost in our day and generation. Give us a burden like Paul's, a Christ-like burden. The one who said, he wasn't willing that any should perish. But the truth is, many perish because of their own refusal, because of their own disobedience to the command, to the precept of God, to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray for such a burden for souls in our day and generation. Let us bow reverently, quietly before the Lord. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can only call Thee our Father because of that indissoluble union with our Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that we stand by faith under the thick ray of the cross. We thank Thee for the Lord our righteousness, for Christ our peace. And Lord, we pray for the people in our day and generation, those who are yet in a day of opportunity, those who are yet in a day of grace, Lord, that Thou wilt compel many to come in to hear words whereby they can be saved. Lord, we pray that You'll do that gracious work that only Thou can do. We ask of Thee, as every head bowed, that Thou wilt bless us, that Thou wilt give us such a burden for the lost in our day and generation, a Christ-like burden is the one who looked upon the many, seeing that they had no shepherd, those out in the mountains wild and bare, far from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, do a mighty work in our day and generation, and we would be careful to give thee all the praise and glory. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask all these things. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen.